So, Elizabeth, your article in High Country News talked about the decline of coal that we're seeing, and particularly the decline of coal in the marketplace. Can you tell me what's going on?
Yes. I mean, there's something incredible happening. There's a virtual nosedive happening with these incredibly large, long-standing, profitable businesses that produce coal in our country. Arch Coal and Peabody are just two examples. It's really dramatic to see what's happening to these companies. And so I was curious about why.
What are the reasons? And this is also has been a very rapid decline. Just 4 short years ago, the stock prices were incredibly high.
Right. What happened in 2011 is that Arch and Peabody both made huge investments in what's called metallurgical coal. That's the coal that they use in making metal like steel. And they bought mines that produce this particular type of coal. And what happened is they were betting basically on the price of metallurgical coal going up, 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 and for there being endless market for the supply of this type of coal, which, and especially in China, they were betting mostly on China being gobbling up everything that they could produce. As it turns out, there were other producers of this kind of coal in the world who were also making similar bets. And there was a glut in the market, and the price of metallurgical coal, instead of rising, just took a huge dip. And so what you have is companies that are holding tremendous debt that they can't pay off because they don't have enough income. It's like you, say, signing up for a mortgage on a very expensive house and thinking, well, I'm going to be able to pay it because I've got this big salary. And as it turns out, your salary ends up being a fraction of what you thought it was going to be. You can't pay your mortgage anymore. And that's what's basically happening to these companies. And that's what Arch said just this week in a filing to the Securities and Exchange Commission. They said, we can't pay off our debts given the incredibly bad state of the market for our products right now. And unless we do some major restructuring, and we might need to go into a Chapter 11 bankruptcy court and try to figure out how to do that. So that's a pretty bleak assessment from their side.
And so are these financial troubles then just limited to Peabody and Arch Coal, these companies that made these big bets?
No, they're not. There are other companies that are struggling with it. And also, the metallurgical coal investments aren't the only factor here. That it would be wrong to present it just as that. I mean, what you've seen is that there's not a market for their products in Asia that they were counting on. So exports have dropped, not just of metallurgical coal, but also the thermal coal that we use in power plants. And so the demand for exports has really dropped significantly. And at the same time, in the United States, the demand for coal has dropped markedly at the same time. And that's because largely of the low price of natural gas. So what you have here is that natural gas prices are low and have remained low and look like they will continue to remain low. So utilities, the electric companies around the country, are deciding, well, I could turn on my natural gas plant, or I could turn on my coal plant, or keep my coal plant going. And they're just using a lot more natural gas than they are coal. There are also regulatory aspects to this, too. The Obama administration's Environmental Protection Agency has been clamping down on coal, requiring it to be cleaner. And that has played some role, but the biggest factor in the domestic market is cheap natural gas.
Is there a possibility then that if the price of gas changed, that coal might pick right back up here in America?
Well, that's a really good question, because that's about the future. And that's the other part of this conversation. If you listen to the rhetoric on the campaign trail from the Republicans or from the Republicans on Capitol Hill, they will say that it is President Obama's policies, his war on coal, that is behind this, the troubles that the industry has. And one of the things that is true is that the future prospects of this industry look dim if President Obama's clean power plan goes through as it's now on the books, but there's a challenge in court, or a lot of challenges in court to that rule. And what that rule would do would be to reduce the demand for coal even further, because it requires states to choose cleaner forms of electricity. There would still be a place for coal. 2030, the EPA estimates that coal would still have 27% share, but that's quite a bit down from the 50% share that it was used to having until recent years, and now it's dipped below 40%, and natural gas even outstripped it in a couple of different months this year. So coal is going to hurt. And I think if the Obama administration's clean power plan stays on the books, and then in the longer future, the prospects are even more dim, because world leaders are gathering together in Paris to talk about the challenge that climate change presents for the globe. And one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to talk about the future and how much greenhouse gas emissions can each country reasonably keep emitting and not have the disastrous consequences of climate change that are so expensive for the economy and for the globe in so many ways. So as the world pushes to reduce greenhouse gas emissions further and further, that makes the outlook for coal even bleaker. Not too long ago, there was lots of talk about clean coal and how companies could capture the greenhouse gas emissions that come from burning coal and making electricity. And that still might be possible in the future, but as long as natural gas prices are low, it's so expensive to do that that nobody's talking about doing it anymore, at least not in the short term.
Yeah, well, I guess that might change, though, if natural gas shifts. Is that something that the coal industry, I guess, is hoping for?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, because I remember talking to utility executives some years ago about natural gas. And in the past, the idea was always that there would be big shifts in natural gas. But hydraulic fracturing and directional drilling, these kind of advances that the industry has made in pulling natural gas out of the earth, have just opened up huge reserves of natural gas at a relatively affordable rate. And natural gas comes up when they drill for oil. So there's a lot of it. So could the price go up? Yes. And one of the ways it might go up would be if and when we increase natural gas exports from our country. So once it becomes more of a global market, then that would increase prices at home a little bit. But it's not going to be the kind of days where natural gas was really high in price. So it's hard to bet on that in the coal industry these days. I think one of the things that is important to remember is that not all coal mines are created equal, and some coal mines, like the big surface mines in the Powder River Basin, are some of the cheapest places in the world to mine coal. So as long as the world is using coal, those mines will probably still operate. Maybe they won't be operated by the company that now is called Arch, or now is called Peabody. But those same huge mines that those companies now operate are going to keep being operated. It's just a question, and that was something that wasn't clear to me exactly. You know, well, what happens when, if and when these big giants go through bankruptcy, will those mines cease to operate? And they probably will still operate. There will be more marginal mines that aren't as profitable, that will likely see their end if the world responds to the challenge of climate change in the way that scientists say is necessary. But there will still be mines, especially the most profitable, the ones where it's cheapest to mine coal. And the one other thing that I think is interesting in all of this is counting on China to be the market. One of the things that I found out from speaking with experts about this situation is that there are a lot of other possible supplies for China, because I think that that was one of the things that the coal companies were counting on, that if regulations required us to pull in our belts on climate change emissions in the U.S., that they would just ship out their coal to the world market. But shipping is very expensive, and some other sources of coal are closer to the markets in China and elsewhere. So it's harder to count on that. And the other thing that's happening in China is that China is taking climate change seriously too. It's trying to reduce its coal use for a variety of reasons, especially because the coal-fired power plants are polluting their big coastal cities in a way that's not acceptable to the people, and that that has possible political ramifications. So China's starting to step up to the plate too, as far as reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and that's not good for coal. So, and I think it's really interesting to me what comes next. I mean, if this all starts to become inevitable, I would say it's on the tipping point of being inevitable. But if it really becomes inevitable, then I think communities in Appalachia, communities in the West that depend on coal, they need to start thinking about what the communities need to start thinking about what are their futures. And some of the, you know, the policy experts I've talked to said that there needs to be a place for federal policy to step in and help these communities transition to something else, because the coal is so important to so many communities. And it's very important to say the state of Wyoming, where a lot of the money that goes to pay for the school systems and everything else that the communities need comes from the royalties from coal. So I think, you know, this is challenging for those areas.
It's quite a problem for a lot of areas, and it's these forces. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the pollution in Beijing is affecting coal mining in Colorado.
I know. It's really hard to imagine. And who would guess that companies that were so healthy for so long could be in such dire straits? And I mean, I'm surprised by it. I really am. And I thought that I didn't realize that this could happen so quickly to such large companies. And it's a combination of factors, but I don't know exactly what happens next, and it's interesting. It's interesting to see.
It's as if Walmart declared that they're going to go bankrupt. It's almost unimaginable.
Well, there used to be another, right? Wasn't there a Kmart or something like that which did? So, I mean, I guess it does happen to big stores and big companies if what they do is no longer part of the modern world, and or, you know, there's a big turn away from it. I'm not saying that there's no coal use. I mean, surely we use a lot of coal as a world right now, and we will continue to use a lot of coal in the decades to come. But there is a need for some kind of big transition, and that's proven to be very traumatic for the companies and for the communities that have depended on this industry. And one of the things that I think is interesting is that now other companies have struggled, and there have been other companies that have already gone into bankruptcy. There are some stronger companies, like a Wyoming company called Cloud Peak. And so there are companies that are not in as dire straits. There are coal companies that are not in as dire straits as Arch and Peabody are. So I don't want to paint it as one picture. And some of the coal mines are run by the same company that runs, say, a power plant, and they know where their coal is going to go. And maybe those places are in better shape, at least for the time being.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you very much for your interest.